I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to Current State. Yesterday, voters determined candidates for Michigan's upcoming general election here in mid-Michigan. Those include Ingham County Prosecutor, State House Districts, County Sheriff candidates, and others. Several ballot proposals were also decided, among them millage for a new Ingham County animal shelter. To analyze the results, we welcome Susan J. Demas, owner and publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
And Mickey Hurton joins us, associate publisher and columnist for the Lansing City Pulse. Mickey, good to see you.
Good morning.
Lots to look at here. Let's start with the Ingham County Prosecutor's primary, and we will eventually get to yesterday's developments involving Stuart Dunnings here in a minute. But regarding the vote, Carol Seaman, the winner on the Democratic side, by a pretty healthy margin. Billie Joe O'Berry among the two Republicans. She managed to prevail. Any thoughts on the outcome here, Susan?
Well, it was a four-way Democratic primary, so Carol Seaman ran a pretty impressive campaign. She had a good social media presence. She was running ads on TV. And she managed to really consolidate the progressive vote in the county.
Democrats had choices here. I mean, four choices, yeah, on the Democratic side, and the Republicans had two.
And she had a lot of endorsements, and she also used social media pretty well. I mean, you could hardly pick up a Google search without her popping up there, and so a pretty effective campaign.
And with regard to Billie Joe O'Berry, any thoughts there? Republicans had two options. She's a familiar face, to be sure, here in the Lansing area.
Yeah, she's been a frequent candidate for judge, and so I think a lot of people are aware of the name. They've seen the signs, and so name ID is very helpful. Being a Republican running in Ingham County is not.
Yes. I mean, when you look at the turnout, I mean, it's clear that the Democrats prevail in almost every category. So it's nice. And she's probably the most well-known candidate on the Republican side, but very unlikely to win.
I would like to, before we go any further, let's stick with the prosecutor's office here for one more minute. We had Stuart Dunnings in the middle of course, pleading guilty to two prostitution-related charges yesterday. Let's talk about this just a little bit. Mickey, you've already got a piece in City Pulse about it. Your thoughts on the guilty plea?
Well, I mean, he could have done 26 and a half years in jail. I mean, that was the potential. And that considered, he's got a five-year potential felony and 93 days on another charge. I mean, he got off fairly easy. And the question is, what happened? I mean, when they announced the charges, it was Schutte and the sheriff, and they were, you know, hundreds of episodes led to this arrest. And now they've downgraded all of this. I mean, it's really incredible. What happened to all of these charges? And what happened to the commitment against human trafficking that Dunnings now gets relatively light sentence? One is a downgrade of the pandering charge and one count of prostitution. So it's very odd. And it would be interesting to see some of the documents now that they can no longer hide all this behind, well, it's in process, see what really happened.
You inclined to agree, Susan? What do you think?
I am. And, you know, I think there are still open questions about who else was aware of what was going on, both in the prosecutor's office, but also with law enforcement.
Law enforcement, I think, is the gravest one. I mean, you know, the sheriff's department acknowledged that they've heard about this for years. Well, what kind of investigations actually took place, and how serious was it in trying to pursue this? And, you know, it was no one's political interest to go after Dunnings. And the other question I raise in my comments, what does Dunnings know and is insane as part of the plea deal? I mean, he's essentially silenced. But it's hard to believe that the prosecutor, to me, with 20 years experience in a state capital, which isn't the cleanest place in the world, doesn't know something about someone, and it's in all of their interest to keep it quiet.
Well, could the Dunnings situation become an issue in the election for sheriff? That's the other thing. We will hire a new sheriff in November. Is that possible?
Who is, and the front runner is the current sheriff's son, Scott Rigglesworth. This potentially could be an issue, but once again, it's very difficult for a Republican to win in this county.
Right.
The question is, maybe it becomes an issue in the prosecutor's race. because you will have O'Berry against Siemens, and O'Berry is clearly an outsider. And but you know, Whitmer's in there now, and she really doesn't have any reason not to look deeply into this. I don't think so. We'll see, but there's more of a story in there that's got to be.
Well, since we're talking about Billie Jo O'Berry, I'm pleased to welcome her to the program, the successful Republican candidate for Ingham County Prosecutor. Billie Jo O'Berry joins us briefly on the phone here. Thanks for carving out time for us here today, Billie Jo.
You're very welcome. Yes, I was in court, and I just ran down a flight of stairs just to get your call.
I think our guests have raised a valid point here. It is you are running for prosecutor in a blue county. How do you expect to prevail in November? What do you need to get in front of voters?
Well, this transcends party politics. We have had a breach of trust here in Ingham County, and the thing that people need to look at is who's going to perpetuate the kind of system that occurred that allowed Stuart Dunnings to engage in the activities that he engaged in. And if you look at the list of supporters for Carol Seaman, who is running, it's the same list of supporters that supported Stuart Dunnings year after year after year. We need to clear that slate. We need to start fresh. And I just caught the tail end of what you were saying about O'Berry being an outsider. That is true. As far as with the party politics, I'm an outsider with respect to partisanship. However, with the community, I am very much a part of this community. I've worked for 30 years in Ingham County in the city of Lansing. I've served the city of Lansing as an assistant city attorney doing prosecution. I'm the only candidate currently prosecuting cases, and as I just said, I ran down from court where I'm in court this morning. And Carol Seaman, on the other hand, has been retired since 1995 from the prosecutor's office. No one is getting that information out. In 20 years, look at the changes that have been made in technology. E-tickets, DNA testing, all of those things didn't even occur when Carol Seaman was last in court.
Can we get back to the prosecutor's race, though? Do you believe that there are guilty parties within the prosecutor's office?
Well, when you use the term guilty, that
people that knew understood that what Dunnings was doing and chose not to reveal it.
I believe it's very difficult in an office, even the size of 50, not to know that your prosecutor, your chief law enforcement officer, is absent for significant periods of time. It's beyond me how that's even possible, unless people there were concentrating on their own issues and their own inner workings within the office. I mean, interrelationships and things like that. So you need to step back and say, everyone out there can understand, and people that I've talked to door say, we just don't believe that no one knew nothing. There had to be suspicions. And let me even tell you more. If you're connected to the community like I am, people tell you things. That's how most crimes are solved, is by from the street level. Gene Rigglesworth, our sheriff, said that they had heard rumors. Why did no one investigate that? If you hear rumors about your top law enforcement official, that needs to be investigated immediately.
So is what you're saying is that Carol Seaman should be held accountable for Stuart Dunnings' behavior and his crimes in this next election?
No, absolutely not.
But
however,
by voters, not in a legal sense, by voters.
You have to look at the party that has perpetuated this. The same supporters supported Stuart Dunnings and said 4 years ago they told this community that he was the best candidate to be the Ingham County prosecuting attorney. Those same people are now saying Carol Seaman's the best person to be the Ingham County prosecutor. What credibility is there when they supported just 4 years ago an individual who has now pled guilty to violating the laws of this state?
We are going to let Billie Jo O'Berry go here. We've got other developments here from the primary vote to talk with about our guest. Billie Jo O'Berry, many thanks for joining us today. Good luck.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Certainly. It's Current State here. My guests are Susan J. Demas, owner and publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Mickey Hurton is associate publisher and columnist for Lansing City Pulse. Let's stay with county results for another minute before we discuss the State House winners in our area. Five millage proposals in Ingham, including a new animal shelter millage, all passing. Ingham residents seem to be supportive of their services these days.
I'm not sure you could put a tax increase on the ballot that wouldn't pass in Ingham County.
But, you know, it strikes me, I'm trying to reconcile the sort of the good news on these on the elections, because virtually all incumbents won. The millage has passed. And I'm only trying to say we have a national election now where people are supposed to be angry.
The same thing crossed my mind as I woke up this morning.
And
I mean,
where is it?
There's a lot of places where it's really not good to be an incumbent. And what do we see locally? We see a totally different kind of vibe.
I think that's the feeling. I mean, and Michigan is supposed to be a state that's in play in the election. So if this is the general tenor of the Michigan electorate, Michigan isn't in play. People seem to be happy here, and the, you know, the economy in the state has improved sufficiently that they ought to be.
And it's not just what happened in blue Ingham County yesterday. If you look statewide, not a single incumbent state House member lost. You would expect to see different results in a year of the so-called angry voter.
We had four state House incumbents in our area facing challengers yesterday, and as we've alluded, they were all successful. Democrats Andy Shore and Tom Cochran, and Republicans Tom Leonard and Brett Roberts. Any particular thoughts on any of those four outcomes?
They probably all win re-election in November.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just not seeing the revolt, you know, the groundswell of dissatisfaction that you might expect.
I agree. I mean, I think you certainly have a segment that's angry, but not overall.
Yeah, yeah.
We have, it appears nothing was really decided in the 8th Congressional District here yesterday. There was really nothing to decide, as best as I can tell. Some number of people probably wrote in Susanna Shrelly's name, and Melissa Gilbert obviously has some hoops to jump through to officially get her name off the November ballot, so that lay with the Bureau of Elections to decide. But Susan, you made the rounds yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about outstate here. I know you put in a lot of miles yesterday. Where were you, and what did you see? What did you hear?
Yeah, over the last couple of days, I was in Grand Rapids, Detroit, Brighton. Didn't make it up to Flint, but that's probably today. So. You know, what you're seeing is that millages across the state did pretty well. Incumbents did pretty well. And we have to see the final turnout numbers, but it's not looking very positive.
We had an interesting number of races, though, and kind of an interesting dynamic in Meridian Township that I'd like to touch on here before we go any further. There was a race for trustees, and there was this issue of the bus rapid transit, which was percolating just below the surface.
Not that far below the surface.
Not very far.
Meridian.
Indeed.
Yeah, it sort of was split. I mean, you had Duchesne won and Jackson won and Opsomer won. They were part of a ticket that was sort of for it with Brixie, and they, you know, sort of support it. But then others went back. I mean, so we're still going to be something of a split there. It's hard to gauge how much people really feel about this issue. Clearly, the business community dislikes it for the disruption that will happen, the cost, and the sort of the change in traffic patterns. But it looks to me as if the Meridian board that got elected yesterday is likely to support this. I think this is probably, they've got sufficient votes.
They, previously they have formally come out against it, but this is, now we're in a post-election, now we're in a primary mode here, so that, I suppose that may change. There was quite a bit of heat generated in the first congressional district in the UP. Jason Allen, Tom Casperson, Jack Bergman amongst the Republicans, Lon Johnson and Jerry Cannon amongst the Democrats. What happened in the first, Susan?
This was the shocker. When I was up in the Western UP and Lower UP in June, it was a very quiet race, and it really looked like it was Casperson versus Allen on the GOP side. This race was just broken wide open in the last few weeks, and you had Allen and Casperson beating each other up, and the outsider Jack Bergman, a retired general who doesn't even spend very much time in Michigan, slipped through. This is going to be an absolutely fascinating general election, and Lon Johnson, the former Democratic Party chair, got exactly the result that he wanted.
We have got to leave it there. We could talk for longer, but we've got to go. We want to thank our guests. Susan Demas is owner and publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Mickey Hurton is the associate publisher and columnist for the Lansing City Pulse. Look for his column involving the Stuart Dunning's plea here in the new edition. Thank you very much for joining us.
Have a good day, Mark.